we begin today with the Three Musketeers of New York area polling. Lee Meringoff, director of the Marist poll at Marist College in Poughkeepsie. Mickey Carroll, director of the Quinnipiac poll at Quinnipiac University in Hamden, Connecticut. And Don Levy, director of the Siena poll at Siena College in Albany. When we last left the Metric Musketeers in early October, they had just come out with polls finding three very different leads for Andrew Cuomo over Carl Palladino. Let's see how things have changed and check in on some of their other findings, maybe even about things like how new technology is affecting the way we watch television and whether Mayor Bloomberg should run for president, according to New Yorkers. Lee, Mickey, Don, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me here.
And Lee, I understand you have some new numbers coming out this morning on Cuomo Palladino taken after their debate on Monday night.
Yes, that is correct. The latest set of Marist numbers show among likely voters Cuomo with a very healthy commanding lead, 60% to 37% for Palladino. That's a 23-point edge for the Attorney General and the son of the former governor.
Siena came up with I think 60 points or something like that just the other day, right?
Earlier in the week, prior to the debate, and in that poll amongst likely voters, we had Andrew Cuomo at 63, Carl Palladino at 26, so a 37 points.
Quinnipiac will do one of these days, and I'm sure it'll show exactly the same thing, which is that it's a blowout.
So, Lee, when we all last gathered just a few weeks ago, it didn't seem to be as much of a blowout. What happened?
Well, I mean, I think a lot has happened in terms of Carl Palladino. I mean, we're talking about someone who earlier in the campaign, 47% thought he wasn't even fit to be governor. That number has now grown to 59%. His negatives have gone from 48 to 62. You know, you might say he wanted to run for governor in the worst possible way, and he has.
He earned it, don't you think? I mean, he earned the bad numbers.
Don, other polling I've seen seems to say Palladino has gone from angry man capturing part of the public mood to scary angry, kind of off, not qualified to be governor. I guess that's what you're all saying. But does it mean that New York, for some reason, seems more immune to Tea Party fever, even in depressed upstate, than other places? Palladino, you know, look, he may be no more fringy in some respects than some of the others around the country who are remaining competitive.
Well, certainly relative to the Tea Party, I mean, we poll that question again and again, both statewide and in some of the races that we do for Senate districts or congressional districts. And by and large, New Yorkers, even when you ask them, do you have a favorable or unfavorable impression of the Tea Party, it does not pull a majority of New Yorkers. So the Tea Party, although it has support across New York, and especially in upstate New York, it still hasn't reached where a majority of New Yorkers say that's my view, that's my ideology.
I'd be surprised if it was that anywhere near a majority. What I am surprised by is that 27% of New Yorkers do think they identify with the movement. And among the folks in the Marist poll who say they're most enthusiastic about voting this time, the Tea Party voters are the highest. 60% of them say they're very enthusiastic.
They're the angry voters. And I would suggest that one reason that New York is, if not immune to this, is at least the got a fairly large set of antibodies is that there is a conservative movement in New York. It's called the Conservative Party. So if you're a conservative, well, you know, angry or not, you've had a place to go, and you still have a place to go that's on the ballot, that is an established party, so that the lure of, boy, we're out of this, but we're going to make ourselves known, that's true, maybe in the other 49 states, but it doesn't have to be true in New York.
This is for governor. This is just not a credible candidate. Carl Palladino has not caught on. Clearly, there is a political tidal wave in New York, as there is elsewhere in the nation. Here, the water is still very blue for the Democrats.
But that 27% number identifying with the Tea Party movement, that's about the national average, isn't
it? Sure, it's only 30% in our national number. So we have a large Tea Party group here in New York. It's just that Carl Palladino, even one of four of his backers don't like him or don't know enough about him.
Right.
And 43% of conservatives and 47% of Republicans are negative about Carl Paladino. This is not a candidacy that has any legs.
Lee, I'm sure you guys have
Hang on, Lee, did any of the minor party candidates get any bump from this debate? The politics is too damn boring party or whatever?
Not really. People, that's a little publicity. I think it was, for some viewers, it was even a little bit of fun or entertainment, but people aren't exactly going to flock to the polls and pull those levers.
And not the Libertarian Party candidate who was working to seriously present himself as a sane alternative on the right to Carl Paladino.
Yeah, well, what these folks are really trying to do is get the 50,000 votes to become ballot status in New York for the next 4 years.
Right.
There's no big groundswell
for their parties. Mickey, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that the only one that of the outsiders, if you will, that seemed to get any attention was McMillan, because it's a vaudeville act. And that's what the debate turned out to be, Brian. It was Paladino was reasonably sober. Andrew Cuomo was reasonably sober, but all the others were—they weren't real. You took McMillan, of course, he'll get some votes from people who think, "Gee, that's funny." But as far as anything real goes, no, none of them showed anything at all, and you wouldn't expect.
Well, maybe the most real was Charles Barron trying to run to the left of Cuomo, who's playing it very much down the middle. And Barron was talking about progressive positions, like a more progressive income tax, and things like that, and calling Cuomo the king of layoffs for his plans as governor in certain respects. You know, that's a very serious-minded candidacy, and Cuomo has shown weakness in the black community. But again, Lee, since you're the only one with new numbers on this, you don't see any erosion among African Americans after Charles Barron's debate performance.
There's no erosion there. I mean, you're dealing with the problem with for the Democrats with the African American community is not New York's doing. It's just that their motivation, the mobilization this time, as it is with many of the Democratic base core supporters, is weak, and that's why President Obama and Joe Biden and Bill Clinton have been swooping around the country trying to drum up support, even in New York. Republicans say 53% say they're very enthusiastic about voting. Only 39% of Democrats do. So there's a gap of 14 percentage points in the Republicans' favor. The difference between New York and elsewhere is that in New York, Democrats have a lot of points to give.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show. We're talking with the Metric Musketeers, Lee Meringoff, director of the Marist Poll at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, Mickey Carroll, director of the Quinnipiac Poll at Quinnipiac University in Hamden, Connecticut, and Don Levy, director of the Siena Poll at Siena College in Albany. Don, are you following any of the local contested congressional seats?
Absolutely. We've pulled about 10 of the congressional seats, and I'll tell you, this is going to be one barn burner of an election night on some of those congressional races. Again and again and again, they are either close or in many cases tightening, and quite a few of them look like they're going to come down to the wire. That's true also in quite a few of the state Senate districts that we're following, and clearly the control of the state Senate here in New York is up for grabs, and right now it does appear that in quite a few races that are hotly contested, the Republicans have a small advantage, so we may see control of the state Senate flip from D to R in this election.
And as far as control of the House possibly switching from D to R, Don, are you looking closely at either the McMahon seat in Brooklyn or the Holt seat in New Jersey or the Bishop seat on Long Island or the John Hall seat in the Hudson Valley?
Right. We look strictly at New York seats, but we are following the Hall seat very closely and the Bishop seat. The Hall seat in particular.
Because also, I should say for our listeners, all four of those that I mentioned are Democrats, incumbent Democrats, who are seen as vulnerable right now.
Absolutely. In our most recent poll on the CD19, the Hall seat, we show Nan Hayworth with a small lead, within the margin of error, but a small lead, which doesn't bode well for an incumbent when they're trailing as they approach the election. There's also a couple of upstate congressional races, the Scott Murphy seat, the Bill Owens seat, that look very much in play. And, of course, the 29th, the former Massa seat, I think most people feel that is absolutely going Republican in this election.
Yeah, but Brian, if I could just jump in. I mean, here is where Carlo Paladino is also hurting the Republicans in terms of the expected turnout and the enthusiasm for the Republican ticket. As top of the ticket, he's really a drag on a lot of these down-ballot races. In a very close race, could be the difference.
It's really quite interesting. When we poll in each of these congressional or Senate districts, we ask the gubernatorial horse race. And so there are races where the Republican Senate candidate or the Republican congressional mm-hmm. candidate is even or up a few points. And still we see in those districts, many of which are dead even in registration, Andrew Cuomo with a very, very large lead over Carl Paladino.
And Mickey, being in Connecticut, are you polling on McMahon versus Blumenthal for Senate?
We are. Well, you know, Quinnipiac does six states, as you know, and there's Connecticut being one of them that is real barn burners, Pennsylvania and Ohio, too. The McMahon is close, but still single digits, but behind. The Siena deserves credit. You know, they're the only ones, I think, who are doing, certainly we're not, and Lee, I don't think you're doing all of them the way they do. They're doing all of these congressional races that look good.
And we're doing Senate races around the country in Pennsylvania.
Oh, no, I meant in New York. It's funny. If you stop and think, Brian, the one Senate race around the nation that the nation will be looking at, but the New York will have a particularly strong look at, is the Reid race. Because if Reid loses, in a pair of the numbers I've seen out there, have you done them, Lee?
Harry Reid in Nevada, right?
No, yeah. But the race, it could go either way. That's a toss-up state.
Well, if he loses, then if you're a New Yorker, you got to think, hey, wait a minute. Who's next in line? Very
Chuck
likely
Schumer.
Senator Chuck Schumer.
Could be the
so that New York, if Reid loses, I expect that Schumer, in our poll, everybody's poll, Schumer is so far ahead that the other guy isn't even in sight.
Do you think Schumer's thought about that scenario?
I think he might be looking on election night more at these Nevada races, Nevada numbers, than the New York numbers. He's sure than the New York numbers.
All right, we have 30 seconds left. Lee, I see you have a poll out at Marist on whether Mayor Bloomberg should run as the centrist alternative for president. What did you find?
Well, no great send-off from New Yorkers regarding any kind of presidential aspirations that Bloomberg may secretly harbor. Clearly, he's denied and tried to damp it down any speculation. But only 26% of New York voters, despite his decent approval rating as mayor, want him to run for president. When we put him in a three-way nationally with Barack Obama and Sarah Palin as an independent, he gets about 1 in 5. So there's some support for him, but he will have to signal his intentions a little stronger if he ever wants to reassess his position and take a shot for the White House.
Our New York area Metric Musketeers, Lee Merengoff, director of the Marist poll, Mickey Carroll, director of the Quinnipiac poll, and Don Levy, director of the Siena poll. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Have
Brian
a great
with
day.
You.
And listeners, be sure to check out the interactive political projections map from Google and our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. We have mashed up a Google map with the latest projections from top polling sites like Real Clear Politics and The Cook Report. You can go to any part of the country and see what the latest projections are in House, Senate, and governor's races. Find it on the homepage at itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we have the Nobel Prize winner in economics, Peter Diamond. He'll join us live. Stay tuned.